All right, let's turn to Isaiah, chapter 20. There are two kinds of deliverance. One is that God delivers the innocent from the guilty. That's the first kind. In other words, we're the innocent and he delivers us from bad people. So that's one kind. The other kind is that God delivers us when we're guilty.
Hallelujah.
By the mercy and power of God. Because the bad guys are not as much our problem as our pretending like we're not the bad guys apart from him. So there's two kinds of deliverance. Now, Israel is blind on this one because she believes the reason God took her out of Egypt is because Pharaoh was bad. But that's not true. And so later she learned in Babylon that it wasn't because she was innocent. It wasn't because she was innocent in Egypt. Actually, she was still guilty. It was just that God was judging Pharaoh. And so took her out because he had his own purpose. He had his own idea of to save her. And so he had a little plan. How many know God has a plan? And he always gets his way. So he's going to have his way. So this plan that he had was to take the innocent who weren't innocent, really, and to forgive them. And so he gave them the law so that they could see through the law. This is the oldest trick in the book, is I'm guilty, but I'm going to pretend like I'm not. That's the oldest trick in the book. You remember, I ate the apple, but I'm going to put fig leaves on so you can't tell. Do y'all remember that one? So eating the apple is not a big deal. God knows you eat the apple. He created you knowing you would eat the apple. How many know we've all eaten the apple? Did you eat of the tree of which I forbade you to eat? You know, duh. And God knew that we would lie. No, the woman thou gavest me. And then she said, who can I blame? Let's see, the snake. And the snake, who can I blame? The snake had nobody. Poor snake. So do you feel bad for the snake? You know, that is pitiful. That's pitiful. Should have a little mercy on the snake. All right. So this 20th chapter is so weird that I wasn't going to preach out of it. It's so weird. And it's short. It's only a couple of verses. I think it's the shortest chapter in Isaiah. But it's just so little and so worthless that I wasn't even going to preach out of it. But I did it anyway, you know, and just studied it anyway. I thought, you know, it's in God's Word, so you should look at it. And I looked at it and I just thought, you know, of what interest is Sennacherib or Sargon? Or Tartan, you know. I mean, people don't even know those names. And some of you have heard of Sargon, Sargon the Great. Has anybody ever heard of that name? One person? Amen. I told you it was a worthless chapter. But anyway. But God has a lesson here because the DNA of the Bible is in every verse. It's in every word. It's in every chapter. It's in every book. And so whatever is true in one place is also true in every place. So you cannot read any part of the Bible and it doesn't apply to you. It's always the same. The story never changes. From the first story to the last story, it's always the same. We're guilty. God is holy. We're merciless. We're merciless to other people, especially people that don't do perfectly like we think they ought to do. And so God is merciful. He's full of mercy. We're powerless. He's powerful. We're ignorant. He's wise, smart. So anyway, you learn all these lessons. And they're kind of simple, but simple things are what makes everything happen. You have to always reduce everything to a sentence. You have to always argue everything from the simplest to the most complex. So there are no complex subjects. None. Zero. Everything is simple. everything. It all boils down to God and man. And the neat thing about God is, who is he? And the neat thing about you is, who are you? That's the neat thing. And did you know that your existence is given? You're here. That's just given. You didn't choose it. It's just here. But your essence must be chosen. That is, who are you? God won't choose for you. God will tell you what's right to choose, but he won't make you do it. How many know we're free? Amen. So your existence is given. You have no freedom. But your essence is chosen. You have all freedom. But what you must do is choose who you are. And God helps us in the Bible. He says, you're a sinner. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? Amen. And you know, I started out that way. So the law doesn't bother me. It just says, Jim, you're a sinner. And I happen to agree. I never disagreed with the law. I just broke it. I don't care if there's a law or not. And I don't care if God is God. And I don't care if he exists or doesn't exist. I'm just not going to do it. I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. You know, that was all. That's how I grew up. Did you know that everybody grew up that way? Until you were 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 7 or 12 or some age where you started to behave yourself. I just never did. And a lot of people hate me personally, and they're perfectly correct. It's because everything always goes my way. And it's true. It does. I'm so blessed every minute of every second of every day. And I didn't even work at it. I don't even do anything. I just am me. And I'm not afraid to be me. I sin sometimes. People yell at me for sinning. And then sometimes I'm wondrous. And then they, you know, adulate me. And so on. This means nothing to me. I don't bother when I sin to feel bad about it. I just say, God did it again. Thanks for blessing me. Hallelujah. That's how I treat sin. I know most of you take it much more seriously than I do. I don't. I take Jesus seriously. I didn't take me seriously. I'm never shocked or surprised. How could you do that? How could you say that? You know, how could you feel that? How could you think that? Golly. I would be wasting my time if I ever thought about all the sins I sin. I've told you a whole bunch of them, thousands of them. But I just do them easy. They're just simple to me. It just comes to me quickly to judge people, criticize people, look down on people, despise people, look up to people. You know, it just comes naturally. Is anybody else like me? I mean, even after I'm a believer in Jesus, I still am so in touch with my old man. Is anybody else like that? One. Okay. Two. All right. Three. Praise God. So it doesn't bother me because Jesus Christ paid for all that. So you say, well, you're cheap. Yeah, I am. I'm cheap. But Jesus is expensive. I mean, that cost Jesus his life. And I'll tell you another thing. I am grateful for Jesus. I don't know about anyone else, but if you sin much, you also love much. Because there's somebody that loved me while I was a sinner. And even after I became a saint and still sinned, he still loved me. So I am never shocked, surprised at any sin you do, or think, or feel, or hide it, or make it open. I don't care. It doesn't bother me one bit. I don't think you're going to go to hell because of your sins. I don't think you're going to go to heaven because you faked it on the outside and didn't have any, or if the Holy Spirit did it. I don't really care. All I care about is this truth right here. This one says you're not God, he is. This one says you're a sinner, he's not, but he's forgiven you, so it's over. So that to me is so simple. Now, I have a board. Now, this is so simple. Here's God. God. Here's me. Me. And here's the false me. Here's a hypocrite me. There is the whole world, right there. Now, one, two, see, I'm right in order, three. So here's God, and he hates sin, but he loves me, who doeth the sin. Amen? So he hates sin, always will. He's never going to kind of go, well, it's okay. No, he hates it. He hates it. But that's his job. That's his job. It's not my job. Not my job. That's his job. He hates it? Well, let him deal with it. That's his thing. He's the parent. I'm the child. So I sin, but he loves me. And he'll forgive me. And all I have to do is say, yes, I did. That's all I have to do. Did you know that you have to say that? Did you know you have to say it? Did you know? I like a couple people to say it. I am a wicked sinner. That's good. I mean, that is healthy. You just get that all out. Even after you're a Christian and a saint, saints sin. Maybe it's deliberate. Maybe it's, you know, oh, I didn't know and all that nonsense. It's just games to me. Who cares? The point is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that's all there's to it. Now, whether you did it after you were a Christian or before you were a Christian or whatever, you do it. So here, I would be, apart from under the law, which I'm not under, but under the law, I'm always guilty. Now, because I confessed this, even before I was a Christian, even before I knew anything about God, I just confessed that even though God was the lawgiver, here's God, lawgiver. And I knew he not only was a lawgiver, but he was a judge. In other words, he judged whether I did it or didn't did it. Not only that, he was a king with all the power to execute me if he judged me, if he saw that I broke a law. Well, here I am, guilty lawbreaker. So I'm a lawbreaker, and it not only is outward, it's inward from the heart. As a natural man, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we have wickedness. And that's what Jesus said when he started preaching. He said, you know, hey, everybody has an evil heart. He said, out of the heart cometh murder, adultery, etc., etc. So all those bad things, and he never named a good thing, like sincere. Did you notice that didn't come out of the heart? And one thing about, you know, Christians I've found is a lot of them are very sincere. You know, and if you're sincere, you can judge people that are not. Has anybody ever noticed that? I mean, that's one of the advantages of being sincere. Well, Pastor Jim, you're not sincere. I know. You know, it's like, I don't care about being sincere. I don't care about it. I don't care about any sins that you're trying to catch me on or wonder if I do them or whatever. I don't really care. I don't pay any attention to them. What I pay attention to is that a God who gave a law. So here's the law he gave. He gave this law. A God who gave that law and who hates sin says he loves me. Well, that's different. Because then the gospel is not the law. The gospel says God forgives sinners. So there it is. God forgives sinners, and he does it in a special way. He uses this cross thing where he dies and sheds his blood. So I'm going to call this a blood covering. A blood atonement, a blood covering. So he does it in a way that says blood alone, nothing else but the blood of Jesus. Blood alone, not a human blood, but it has to be God's Son. It has to be God's Son who became Son of Man so that he could shed his blood and die. It has to be his blood alone. So Buddha, he can't do it. Muhammad, he can't do it. So none of the others can do it because their shedding of blood would be worthless because they're not perfect. And by the way, none of them claim to be perfect. But Jesus did. Jesus said, I always do what the Father tells me to do. And what he tells me to do is die for Jim, who did the sin, who's guilty as all get out. But I love him. And one thing I like about Jim, he never was a hypocrite. He never went into this thing of a bloodless covering. You know, I never rely on other people. I never trust other people. I never like other people. I don't like people. I don't know if you've noticed that. I don't like them. I don't like people at all. So anything that comes out of me is purely a miracle. Because actually I love people. But it isn't I. It isn't this guy here that did that. But this guy down here, this me instead of that me. So two different deliverances, two different me's. This me believes that Christ in me is the hope of glory. So this is Christ in me, me. Christ in me, me. That's a different me. So that's a me, and that's a me, and that's a me. So which me is me? So most people are behaving themselves me's, some people are wicked me's, and some people are Jesus loves them as me here. And he doesn't love me here, by the way. There's no love for this person here because this person is a phony, a fake, a liar, vain, hypocritical, not real. This me is just this me. But this me is not this me. This me is this me that sinned becoming this me through faith. So faith here, and this one is works here. So here's a guy that by works tries to improve himself with or without the gospel. It could be Buddhism, it could be Hinduism, it could be Judaism, it can be anything you want. Now, God wants us, and by the way, hasn't this been known all along? Yes. 2,000 years, it's been preached. Somewhere on the earth, for 2,000 years, God has had his gospel go forth in purity. Somewhere. And one guarantee he had is he wrote it down in the book. And if you were real educated and smart, you probably would miss it. But if you were just an ordinary person, you probably would get it. Because it says in here, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there's always been somebody in every age that has heard the gospel and believed it. So somebody in every age has said, you know what? Apart from him, I'm guilty. Apart from him, I can do nothing. Apart from him, I am nothing. I have nothing. But I'm going to put all my faith in him. And others have said, thank God he saved me so that I can then do all these wondrous works for him and get a little credit and a little reward. Well, that was never me. I've never believed in credit or reward or, you know, I've never trusted that people were reliable. Have you found out that people are not reliable? Dogs, okay. Cats, okay. Fish in the aquarium, they're okay. But people are not reliable. Have you ever noticed that? Even the best of Christians, even the best of believers can let you down. Even you can let yourself down. You can be horrified sometimes at the thing you think or feel or do or say. Is that amazing? And so, I can't believe that I did that. I don't believe I've ever done that. I don't believe anything has ever surprised me about myself. How vicious I can be, how proud I can be. Yesterday, the day before, I won again the thing for the Republican Party. So I'm again, David lost, he's sin, he's no good. But that's because of his sin, and God just found him out, and I'm sorry for David. But I won again, and no contest. David had, in fact, he had two, I think he had two opponents. But no one would run against me. And when I stood up to stand for somebody, everyone withdrew and fell away because they thought he has a lot of influence and power. I'm a fake. I'm a phony. I'm a nothing. Y'all understand? But in the Republican Party, I never make jokes. I look sincere. I do. I look terribly sincere. So I got elected again. So I got another 2 years. Now, I believe I'm the longest running person ever. I believe I am. It's wrong. You should not keep going like I'm going. And I'm old. And the Republican Party, I think the median age is 57 or something. Do you know, David? It's old. What is it? Yeah. Anyway, it's pretty old. But this year, we've gotten young people to come in through the Ron Paul people and Tea Party and so on. Got a lot of young people just flooding us. But the old guard, the old group that elected me, actually don't like the new ones pushing up. They don't like them. But they do like the fact that they're coming in, but they want them to behave themselves and not try to take over. Do y'all understand that? So. Now, even after I won that amazing victory, I began to reach out to the young people because, you know, I think they're welcome. Get in here. You know, you're the future. I'm not. Take my place. I don't care. I don't have any goal. So because of that, some of my best friends who supported me vilify me now. Why did you reach out to the enemy? They didn't say that, but that's what they were saying. Why did you reach out? Those people have horns. Do not talk to them. Do not deal with them. They're bad. They're evil. Amen? So now, I don't really care. because I don't have a reputation. So one of them even said to me, you'll never be reelected. I'm going to make sure. And this is one of my best friends. I mean, best. I will make sure, because you talk to the enemy. You're sleeping with the enemy. You're messing with them. And I said, well, I like them. So anyway, you know what? If you really care about this world, you're in trouble. Because I don't care about my reputation. I don't care about whatever. It's like, Jesus, you told me to do it. I'm doing it. And that's all there's to it. You say, well, what if you're wrong? I don't really even care if I'm wrong. You know, all I'm interested in, if I believe Jesus tells me to do something, I just do it. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't work at it like, oh, God, you know, make sure, blah, blah, blah. How would I be sincere enough to get that? Unless it's Jesus. So I don't check myself. I don't question myself. If I think it's Jesus, I just do it. And then someone say later, you see, you were guilty. You did wrong. I don't really care. Jesus forgives me. The fact that you don't, that's your problem. Jesus says I'm innocent because I'm not me. You're looking at this me. I'm looking at this me right here. Christ in me. Christ loved me. Christ is for me. He's in me. He's through me. I give Christ all the glory. Y'all see that? Now, all God has ever wanted, flip out of today's reality. All he's ever wanted from Israel, all he's ever wanted from his people in the Old Testament was just admit you're guilty. Everything is founded upon the fact that God is holy. God is holy. And we are guilty. We are guilty. And God forgives sinners. Now, you have to be a sinner. You have to be a sinner for God to love you. He does not love hypocrites who are not really real. They're mask wearers. They're pretending to be something they're not. So they put on these masks and, you know, they're pretending that they're more wonderful than they are. I'm not. I'm not pretending. I'm not trying to pretend. I'm not trying to pretend I'm a good pastor or a good anything. And I don't defend anything that I do or don't do. I just say Jesus is Lord. He's great. He's awesome. He loves me. And that's my confidence. I have incredible faith, confidence that Jesus didn't lie. So this book here is my hope, not some feeling that I have, not some thought that I have, not some study that I do. The only reason I do all that stuff is just to understand that book. I just want to know the book. And the book is the only way I can know God. I can't know God by knowing God. I have to know God through that book. I exalt my word even above my name. So the way that I know God and why I have so much confidence is I never look. I'm not actually seeing this God because he's hidden. This God is hidden from all mankind. Nobody's ever seen God. Nobody's ever seen him. The Son. And now how do I know this? Because the book says so. The Son, Jesus, he has made him known. So here's his Son. Right here. Here's the Son. So the Son, he has made him known. And that's the only way I know about him is through the book. So I wouldn't know about a cross or about Ten Commandments or anything except it was written down in this book. So this book is my whole life. It's so simple for me. I want to be a sinner. I'm not afraid of being a sinner. But I am now not a sinner. Because this sinner, Jim, whom you can still see doing stuff, I don't believe this is me. This has never been me. I've never been a fake or a phony. I've always sinned and enjoyed it. I never have sinned and pretended like I was better or good, or could be good or ought to be good or should be good. I never had any of that vocabulary. I was always a sinner and I enjoyed this. But when I met Jesus, he said he loved me as I was, just as I am without one plea. So I believe if you're a sinner, you qualify for mercy, for grace. So this grace, this mercy, this power, this work of the Holy Spirit, all was a free gift, freely given to me as a sinner. And all I had to do as a sinner was repent. All I had to do as a sinner was repent. I didn't have to do anything else. I didn't have to walk around the church or light a candle. I didn't have to take a pilgrimage, shave my head. I didn't have to do anything. All I had to do was say, Jesus, I'm no good. I'm not smart. I have no good thoughts. I've never done anything right. But I believe you love me. I believe your book right here. And because I believe, God reckons it as righteousness. And that to me is completely passive. So for me, I never have subjective problems. You never will find me subjective. You know, like, I wonder if I believe that. I've never asked that question. But most people do. Well, I hope I'm a Christian. I've never asked that. I've never thought that. I don't have any of that stuff. Because the book is all that I do. It's just what's written. And I just read this objective word. I don't try to believe it. I just read it. Faith cometh by hearing. I either believe or I don't believe. If I don't believe, I don't believe. I go and eat breakfast or something. And then, you know, I don't have to make it happen. God stands behind His word to perform it. So if He wants to convict me through the Holy Spirit, that's up to Him. I don't help Him out. I don't say, God, no, I'm really meaning it now. I want You to show me, you know, all my sin and so on. It just says so in the book. I don't have to feel it, understand it, or grasp it. I just read it. Whatever it says, I totally believe. I didn't make myself do that, but I just kept reading it, and it got a hold of me. One day, Margaret, I just knew, this is the truth. This is the truth. It's the truth about God that He's good. He has no law-giving in Him that would ever harm me. It hates sin, but it doesn't hate me. Therefore, since He loves me as I am, and then He does all the changing, He's the one that puts repentance in me. He's the one that puts faith in me. He's the one that causes me to walk through life and laugh at everything and anything. I never take myself seriously. I always take God seriously because of the Word. So the Word has the law, which I don't care what the law says, because Jesus fulfilled this for me. And it has the gospel, and that's Jesus also died for the fact that I was bad, and then gave me a new life, free gift. And I took it. And I took it by faith. And so I love Jesus. And that I'm not making it up. I love Him. Period. I just love Him. But I'm not like mushy love. I'm more like just what it says in here. And so, but actually I have that love. I also have psychological love. But I would never rely on it. I don't care about it. All I care about is what's written. So my whole life is based upon something solid ground, never shake, never change, and it's written down here. Now, most human beings would find questions about this book. I don't. Most scholars and smart people, they want to question, well, why did God do this? And why does it say that? And I don't understand this. And I don't have any of those questions. I have none of those questions. God appeared supernaturally to me one day, and that was the end of it. You say, well, I didn't have one of those. Well, I'm sorry that you didn't. But I know why you didn't, because you never had a sinner. You never were happy here. You were always trying to be up here, a hypocrite, and someone you weren't. This person is not you. This is you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But in me, through me, by me, you can do all things. So this is me. This was me, but it's not me anymore. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith, the faith of the Son of God, who died, who gave Himself for me, who loves me, and so on. I love that. That is so simple. I didn't make myself believe that. I just do. So I believe that I was a sinner. You cannot be saved unless you're a sinner. Now, have you ever come to the point, because if you do it afterward, it doesn't work as well. It took me 7 years after I heard about the love of Jesus and all that, and mocked it and mocked it and mocked it and didn't believe it and didn't buy it. But one day, 7 years later, all of a sudden, I knew that I knew that I knew this was me. This was no longer me. I fell in love with my mother. I fell in love with Peggy. I fell in love with everybody, my enemies. I began to pray for my enemies, bless them. I didn't need any teaching or anything. I just simply knew what to do because the Holy Spirit was operating. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, didn't know what all that was, and so on. But I learned everything real, not through books. I read that book, but other books are worthless. So this then became my key right here was, don't be one of these and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Be one of these that I did just what He said not to do. I did it. I did eat of it, but I didn't eat it as a hypocrite. I ate it as a genuine eaten of the tree person. And then He forgave me and loved me. Didn't forgive this person that said, I didn't eat. This is the guy who said, I ate. So I don't care about it. Now, you say, Pastor Jim, that's too happy. Sorry. Yeah, it is. Most of you are afraid to be happy. You are afraid that if you're happy, you'll go to hell. No, I'm serious. You're afraid that if you were ever happy, the devil would get you, something bad would happen, or whatever, and then, you know, you would then no longer be a good person or something. Look, I'm totally 100% happy. Now, I was happy when I was a sinner. So I went from happy to happy. This happiness was false. This happiness is everlasting and true. And because of that, I'm totally at home, totally at peace. There's nothing that I'm afraid of, nothing I'm worried about, nothing. So if somebody threatens me, it doesn't mean anything. You just have to check with Jesus. If somebody offers me something, I don't want it. Because I have to make sure it's from Jesus. And so I just ask Jesus, Jesus, is that from you? I'll take it. If it's not, I'm not. Now, when you obey God like that, you come into this. Chapter 20, Isaiah. In the year that Tartan came unto Ashdod, when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him. So who's Tartan? Well, Tartan is not a name. Tartan is an official who negotiated with other nations when Sargon the Great, and by the way, we have a picture of him. We know exactly what he looks like. Exactly. Sargon and this Tartan is a title. It's a title. It means my chief negotiator, and so that's like your Secretary of State or whoever does your negotiations for you. That's Tartan. That's a job. It's a title. So when Tartan came, he was speaking on behalf of Sennacherib, one of the Assyrian kings, or Sargon, one of the Assyrian kings. And so he did the negotiation. All right. So in the year that Tartan came unto Ashdod, because he's sent, he's an ambassador, when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it. So he's not just a negotiator, he's a commander. So this guy is a high official who has military capacity as well as he can talk. And you can sue for peace. Okay, now put this as though it's God. God is wanting to negotiate with Israel. So God sends Jesus and the Holy Spirit to negotiate with Israel, and Israel won't admit that she's here. She wants to say she's up here and innocent. So she wants to say, I'm not guilty, I'm innocent. I'm a good person. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm innocent. That is the one thing. I have fig leaves on me. I'll make them green so you can tell they're fig leaves. I'm wearing my fig leaves, and these fig leaves are, they cover me. I got lots of them. And so we can cover ourselves with a bloodless covering to say, I am not this person. I am this person. Yeah, but you have to be you. This is the real you. This one is not the real you. This is a fig covering person, but you're still naked. You're naked down here. That clothing is false. So here's a covering, and here's a covering. This is man-made. This is heaven-made. So the covering that we have is the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers all your sins forever. Not just your past sins, not just your present sins, also your future sins. It covers forever. That is too good to be true. To me, that is too good to be true. I can't imagine you even sitting there. Somebody should say, hallelujah, praise God. You know, that's so exciting. Wow. That's exciting. So this upstairs work of ours is self-salvation. This is me saving myself so I don't need Jesus and the Holy Spirit. This is me not wanting to negotiate with God. But God is going to judge this and this, until you admit you're guilty. And, you know, most Christians, if you want to be perfected, you have to be chastened by the Lord. You have to be chastened by the Lord. So all the things that have happened to you are not a matter of self-pity. This person here doesn't feel self-pity, this guilty person. This is the person up here that feels they're innocent and did a lot of good things. They're legalists. So they have a lot of self-pity because they have a lot of pride, because they have a lot of anger. And so they don't want God to get them. And so here's God coming to get you to say, you're guilty. And the only reason he said that was so he could introduce the gospel and say, but I forgive you through the blood of Jesus. And they didn't want to hear it. So Israel to this day has not heard those words. But I believe in this day, I've told you this as a prophet. I believe in this day, Israel as a people are going to return to Yeshua, HaMashiach, and give God the glory. So I don't care if I'm right, because I don't care about all that. I'm just telling you what I believe. I believe the Bible says, and I believe personally God has shown me, that this is going to happen, and these people are going to admit, finally, they're going to go from here, hypocrite and liars, to here, we were guilty, we pierced him, we did wrong, the Christians are right after all, we judged them, but now we see we're wrong, we're guilty, and then they'll become these, right here. Now, when that happens, the world will come to an end. As soon as that happens, the world's over. Because they will then say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In other words, we now recognize Jesus as our Messiah. HaMashiach. So he is our Messiah. He is our real covering. They'll throw this away. They'll accept this. And they no longer will be this. They will be this. So here's who you really are in truth, in God's sight, in God's mind. So he loves you just as you are. Now, is there anyone here, before I even go on and read the rest, is there anyone here who's excited about that? Yeah, it's too good. It's too good. He's covered all your sins. You don't have to worry about them. He paid for them. You don't even have to understand it. You don't have to do anything but hallelujah. You can be just like a little kid rocking around, Hosanna. You know, you don't need to even understand it. You don't have to have a full understanding. Well, I don't know if I understand it. What do you have to understand it for? It's just written. It's just written. It's a free gift. I don't know. Free sounds better to me than earn. I don't know. That just seems simple to me. I never cared about anything in the world because I'd just steal it. I just would take it. Just steal it. If I didn't have something and I wanted it, I'd just go and steal it. And I was so good that I never got caught. I did get caught one time. But more or less, I never got caught. And so I knew I could just about steal anything. Just take it. So I never felt sorry for myself, because if I didn't have something, I'd just go and steal it. If I didn't know what the test was, I could just go and cheat. I mean, I had no morals. Can you understand a good pastor like that? That's part of the qualification of being a good pastor, is I went through, not this, because these people are hard to talk to because they aren't people. They're liars. So you're not really talking to a people. Here's the people right here. I always talk to this person, not to this person. This person doesn't exist. He said, the lukewarm are not cold nor hot. So the main thing about this one is, lukewarm, I spew it out of my mouth. In other words, it's nothing. I would rather you be cold and be a sinner, because I can save them. But I can't save hypocrites and liars who say I'm halfway there. You're not. You aren't there at all. That's just a lie. That's why he calls it a vain deceit. And all the world today wants to get rid of the extremists and wants to be here in this lukewarm, hypocritical, let's all get along and love one another and so on and so forth. It'll never happen. It's not going to happen. You're always going to have fierce people like me who are completely hot or completely cold. In any given moment, you have no idea which one I'll be. Did you know that? So you have to have, that's why you have to have mercy and forgiveness in the church. Because at any moment, a Christian can let you down. Now, if you can't get along with Christians, how are you going to get along with the world? You've got to be able to forgive everybody. Even the people that hate you and despise you and they're trying to, you know, manipulate you and trick you. You have to love them. God bless that hypocrite. That's a good one. God bless that liar. God bless that murderer. God bless. Because, you know, you have them right in the church. We got them in the church. Amen? So, it doesn't bother me. I love everybody. I don't really care who you are. I don't care which phony you are, which real nasty person you are, or which Christian you are. I don't care if you're immature, mature, or, you know, walking in love or walking in hatred. It doesn't matter to me. I just regard it all as nothing. All I do is hear Jesus. Jesus, what do you want me to do there? Love. What do you want me to do there? Forgive. What do you want me to do there? Bless. That's so simple. Do you all see that? So you didn't need to really look around and see, are they young, old, fat, skinny, dumb, smart? You don't need to know anything about anybody. All you know is Jesus loves them. Now, has it gotten to them? I don't know. It's not my business. That's the Holy Spirit does the convicting. He does the convicting of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So I just let him do it. He comes along. The Holy Spirit only works with the Son. The Spirit emanates from, goes forth from, to deliver me from me by putting me here. And that's all I want. But this one cannot be delivered. This one cannot be delivered because they aren't there. You can't be what you're not. You have to be what you are. And so you're either a sinner or a saint. Those are the only two possibilities. There is no such thing as halfway. Well, I'm not a real sinner, but I'm not a real saint. I wouldn't say I love Jesus with all my heart, but I'd say I love him a little bit. But I also love the world too. So the northern tribes, that they're called the Yankees, the northern tribes we call Israel, and they were up here. Israel. Now the southern tribes were also up here, so that's a problem. But the northern tribes were open about it. They were hypocrites because they said, we don't want to get rid of God, Yahweh, Jehovah, but we also want to have the best of this world too. We're going to try to combine them together, kind of mix them, kind of put them together. Now we know that's not right. We're going to have a few idols, but we're also going to keep God's house open too. And so the northern, the assimilators, who were not separated unto God wholly, who were not hot for God, said, well, thank God we're not like the northerners. The southerners thought they were not like the northerners. Here's the northerners. Here the southerners thought they were okay. But actually, they were sinners because they didn't believe in Jesus. And so they had a misunderstanding of what God counted as good and what God counted as evil. Now, God doesn't want you to be good by behaving good. How many know behavior is not you? It's just behavior. You can be a hypocrite. So behavior is not what God wants. He wants from the heart. Thou shalt love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. That's quite a bit. How many know that's impossible? How many know that's impossible? That's impossible. There's nobody can say here, I love God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength except by faith. But you couldn't say it in fact because we see you. We're around you. We can see that there's all kinds of stuff coming out. So you don't know who you are, but God does. And he says, this me is completely wicked, sinful, and naked. I don't see any fig leaves. I can see you. I can see right through fig leaves to tell these people are just these people. And I want to save these people and put them into Jesus because that's the good news. So the gospel always follows judgment. Judgment's the best thing of all. So the first thing to do is God's going to judge the idols that you have. And then he's going to judge you as a sinner, and then he's going to save you. Now, that's God's little method, A, B, C. First thing he has to do right now is lots of believers are not all the way believers. They're hypocrites. He wants to judge all those idols so that you'll become you again. And that's going to happen to Israel. And then when Israel admits that they're sinful and have no hope in the flesh, no confidence in the flesh, let people fall apart. Let people fall apart. Let people fall apart. Because all of this is their props. Let these all be knocked down. And God's doing that. God is the one that's doing that. I hate God. I know you do because he's knocking all your props down. Please, God, deliver me. Deliver me. No, you're not innocent. And he just wants you to be guilty. Then what he'll do is give you this for free. What if he doesn't? Well, it's written in here, and he can't lie, that he'll forgive any sinner that repents. All you got to do is repent. What if I can't repent? You ask too many questions. You're too crazy. Why did you just take his free gift? He just gives you this free gift. He doesn't force you. He's not going to force you. But if you're one of these, then you can be one of these. But if you're one of these, you first have to be one of these before you can be one of these. So this one has to repent twice. I was a hypocrite, but I'm actually a sinner, but then I can believe in Jesus. That's too much. I mean, but some of you have to go through those two hoops. So judgment is coming upon you. Chastening is coming upon you. What? To do what? To take away all your fun? To take away all your life? No, God loves you. This is how love operates. First of all, destroy all of your false gods. Why? Because he wants to give you Jesus. So that then you become a sinner, nasty at God, mad at God, ticked off at God because he doesn't really love you as he said he did. But he does. His love is to expose you as a wicked sinner. And you say, okay, well, I'm not. I'm the righteous of Christ. I know. But that's not just a theory here. That's not just a bunch of words. That has actually got to be the truth that you were one of these and you see it. And so you have to realize no good thing dwelleth in me. There's nothing good in us. Nothing. Even after you become a Christian, you're still not good. You're still totally a branch tied into a vine, which then bears fruit. So that's how we can tell right away if you really know that. If you just say it, it doesn't mean anything. You actually have the fruit because the fruit comes forth down here. This faith will become active in love. You'll actually be able to walk in the Spirit and so on. So what's this have to do with Isaiah? Well, Isaiah was saying to northern Israel, the northern tribes, you are about to have Sargon. You are about to have Sennacherib. You are about to be destroyed. And it happened. So in 721 B.C., they were completely destroyed. First of all, he came, did them one judgment. They didn't pay attention to it. Still said they were okay. Then he did another one. Then they were finished. It was over with. So you would think Judah, the southerners, people that live in Texas, you would think we would get a hold of that and go, why is God taking away all their props? So here's what happened to northern Israel. They started relying upon Egypt. Remember Egypt, the first beast? So beast number one, Egypt and Ethiopia. So beast number one, that's Egypt and Ethiopia. Egypt. We'll just write that down. Then beast number two was going to take away beast number one. So that's Assyria. This is beast number two, Assyria. And then beast number three would come along later, Babylon, because Judah didn't learn her lesson here that beast number one shouldn't be relied upon. So he sent beast number two to take away beast number one so that beast number two would be more ferocious than beast number one. Then beast number three would beat up this beast, which already had beat up this beast, and so on, till we come down to Rome. There's only six beasts. Rome is the last beast. This is the only beast there will ever be. Can't be China. Can't be India. Don't worry about all those people. They're never going to amount to a hill of beans. They can't do it. I don't care how many people they've got, they can't do it. God's already spoken, and that's the way it's going to be. So Egypt, Assyria, and now he's using Assyria to say to Israel, he's not interested in Egypt, he's interested in Israel, his people. Why are you relying upon Egypt? And why do you want to make a deal with Assyria? Because that's what Judah did. Hey, these guys are beating up these guys, and that shows that the Yankees were wrong. But we Southerners, we're going to go with Assyria. So they made a deal, paid tribute. Not smart. Why don't you just turn to the living God? Because he'll beat the snot out of us. You know, he's going to do bad because he'll get us. So I don't want to admit that we're sinners. We're still up here. No. Admit that you're a sinner, that you're a fake, that you're a phony, that you're not the Christian you ought to be, so that then you can be sinful, so that then he can forgive you and then give you all the power. Now forget all your theology about who I am. This is what God does when he loves you. The father that loves his son chastens him. We don't like the chastening. We don't like to sit in this chair number five. Because here, I'm exposed on a daily, continual, constant basis as a liar, a fraud, a fake, and so on and so forth. And I want to say I'm innocent and sweet. Okay, you are in your heart, but you're not in your soul. In your soul, you still judge people. In your soul, you still are envious. In your soul, you still are afraid. In your soul and in your body, and it shows up in your body, Christians have all kinds of signs to the whole world that there's something wrong inside. Okay? So Christians get depressed. I've never been depressed. You can't depress me. Why? I don't know. It's a sin. And I'm not working at not being depressed. I'm just not depressed because I believe Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. So I just don't get depressed. Because I know that I'm not afraid of one of these, and I've never been one of these because there's no need for it. And so therefore, I'm either a sinner or a saint, and I'm a saint. That's it. That's finished. Jesus wrote it in the book, and that's the end of it. His blood covered me, and that's all there's to it. So I don't have any doubts, any fears, any lust, any things. I don't have them. It doesn't matter what you say. I don't. Because they don't control me. But I could have them in the moment, and they're nothing to me. It's like, there I go again. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive. Sorry. You know, and it's not a big, like, earning your way or walking around the church or, you know, there's nothing to do. It's just, Jesus, forgive me. Thank you. Hallelujah. So there's no guilt there. I don't have any guilt about sin. None. About anything I've ever said, done, whatever. Now, have I done bad things like y'all? Yes. Have I had bad thoughts? Yes. I've had everything you've had, I've had it. There's no difference between any of us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all the same. But what I do with it is not hide. I never hide. I never pretend. I never say, I'm the righteous of Christ or something. I never say that. Of course I am, but I am that by faith, not by deed. My deeds are sometimes horrible. Peggy knows that sometimes I'm not loving and attentive and so on. Could I hear an amen? Thank you. That was supposed to be from Peggy. But anyway. But all I'm trying to say is, but I love her completely, 100%. But sometimes I don't behave that way. How many know you can forget? In the moment you can forget, and so on and so forth. So I don't ever deny what she's saying. It's all true. But the truth is, it's not true. It's not true. It's just simply true superficially. And so that's not really me. So when I'm unloving, I don't count that, though I see I did that, or thought that, or felt that, or whatever. But I just take it to Jesus. Jesus, cleanse it. Forgive me. Thank you. Peggy, forgive me. Thank you. I mean, the person that yesterday said, you know, you're never going to be reelected. I'm going to get you. That was at 12 o'clock yesterday night. Or no, not yesterday, but the day before, anyway, whatever. And looked straight at me. And I said, well, I'm sorry. And I could tell they didn't want to forgive me. They wanted to keep hating me and threatening me and controlling me and dominating me and so on. So, again, this is my closest friend. And so I said, well, that's it. I mean, you know, there it is. You can either forgive me or not. I don't really care. Well, you let us down and so on. Okay, well, just tell me what you want me to do. I'll make up for it. What do you want me to do? And they couldn't think of too much and so on and so forth. So, in other words, what will make you happy for the rest of your life? Nothing. Because you just want to be mad. You all see this? And you just want to threaten me. And you know what? I know you love me anyway. And I know you'll, in a few days you'll recover and then you'll call me up. Do you know what I'm saying? So I didn't take it seriously. I have a lot of people yelling right in my face. And I'm just thinking while they're doing that, Jesus, I love this person. What passion this person has. How deep their love must be if their hatred is this strong, you know. And in a few days, that same person, I can tell you who these people are, that same person will come and say, you know, I want you to forgive me. The other day, what I did was wrong. I totally misunderstood. But now God has shown me I was wrong. And I said, wow, I've got a friend for life. And that person was just hating me a few days before, but I never responded. I didn't respond except to say, well, you're wrong. That's not true. I love you. That's it. No defense, no explanation, no wasting of time. Well, let me explain what I did and why I did and da, 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 da. I'm not trying to be innocent. I don't care about innocence. Jesus is innocent. Jim may be guilty, should be guilty. I don't even care if I am. All I know is I love you. I love you with the love of God. I'm not going to defend it. I won't defend it. I just state it. Now, Jesus has to then do all the work. I keep him busy. Because he has to be the one that who loved me while I was yet a sinner, and then not only forgave me, but then changed me from one degree of glory to another degree of glory to another degree of glory until I'm perfected, and I know that won't happen until the trumpet blows. So I'm not even expecting it, nor am I surprised that I don't look perfect all the time. I don't want to look perfect. I don't want you to look perfect. I don't care how you are. I love you just the way you are. That's the way God does it. Whether you're a sinner, whether you're a saint, whether you're immature, mature, it doesn't make any difference. It's the same. The best. Now, I've told you, I believe Dallas is going to be the beginning of the end time revival. I believe it's going to be right here. Don't believe it's Fort Worth. I believe it's Dallas. And I believe that God is doing it this year, now. I believe something big is going to happen. It's not me. I'm not the one. I just am telling you about it. Something's going to happen now in the fall and has nothing to do with the election. Nothing. But something's going to happen in the body of Christ, in the believers. And it's going to explode and it'll cover the nation and the world. It's something powerful, and it's somehow related to Africa. I've told you that too. There's something powerful going on, and that's why I believe I was reelected. I don't believe I was reelected because I'm any good or that David is bad. I said all that. It was a joke. I believe that David is 100,000 times better than I am. He pays attention to everything. I don't pay attention. I hardly know what's going on. I have to ask David, David, what's going on there? What's the point of this? You know, and so on. But I just believe that there's a mission that God has to change this world. And I believe I'll have a role, an important role, but not the major role at all. I just believe I have a role. And the governor came up the other day, and this is funny to me. And everybody's trying to get their picture taken with him and all this stuff. And the guy sees me. Now, he's been through a major accident that nobody knows about. But anyway, he had a major accident, and that's why he behaved like he did when he was on television. But anyway, he came up to me, and he came right over, Jim, and he hugged me. Now, you don't do that when you're a governor. You don't do that. And first of all, I didn't know if he read my sign or whether he actually knew who I was. But I've known him for a long, long time. I knew him when he was not and all that. But he probably did know me, and he probably did recognize me. And I've had my picture taken many times with him. But he didn't do it with anybody else. He came up and gave me a bear hug. I mean, he just hugged like that. It's so exciting. I just think it's funny.
It is.
Because I believe that, you know, and Greg Abbott was there also, our attorney general, and all these people. They all know me because I've been around for so long, 25 years. But still, I just believe that I have a role to play in political as well as economic as well as spiritual. I just think I'm supposed to. I don't know why. I just think I'm supposed to. And so, it's so exciting to me that what God was doing here with Israel was saying, I'm going to knock out Egypt here by use of Assyria here so I can bring you back to here. And if that doesn't work, then I'll send Babylon. And it did work with the northern tribes. They were wiped out. Now listen to this. This is so cool, and I'll quit. Verse 2, 20. At the same time spoke the Lord by Isaiah, the son of Amos, saying, go loose the sackcloth from off your loins. Take your clothes off. Put off your shoes from your feet. He did so. He walked naked and barefoot. Now, that's rather embarrassing. But you know what? Spiritually speaking, I'm naked. In other words, I don't have any covering. I don't have anything going for me. I just have Jesus. That's it. And he loves me naked, butt naked. I'm not going to cover or fake it or anything like this. And the Lord said, just as my servant Isaiah has walked naked and barefoot for 3 years, it was a sign and a wonder upon Egypt and Ethiopia. So in other words, he said it's a 3-year deal. It's going to take 3 years to knock this out. You've relied on something other than me. You have turned to Egypt to deliver you. You've turned to doctors to deliver you. You've turned to pastors to deliver you. Husbands, you've turned to somebody else, something else other than me to deliver you because you didn't want my judgment here so that then I could purify you here. And because you did that, you missed out on the gospel. C, you never got because you never admitted you were a B. You always relied on A, so I'm going to knock A out. I'll use this beast to knock that beast out, then I'll use another beast to knock that one, another one, and another one, and another one, till you get to Rome. 6 beasts, each one knocking out the other one. And today, you remember, Rome had, different from all the other beasts, it had 3 apotheoses. It changed itself from ancient Rome to medieval Rome to modern Rome. So today, we're part of the New World Order. That is the last governing body. That is the last beast system. And it'll be anti-Christian. And it's already becoming that. I'm not talking about the United Nations even. That can disappear. I'm just talking about the New World Order, where somebody has some kind of a dream that, you know, we're going to do thus and so on. And we're the ones that will get it. That's why politics is so important, because here we are in political circles, and Texas is the only one doing this. Texas is the only leader, the only model for the whole rest of the nation. They despise us in New York and in Washington and so on and so forth, because they're jealous. They're jealous of our Jesus. They're jealous of our guns. They're jealous of our money. They're jealous of our, you know, resources. We got everything, coal, gas, oil, you know, we got whatever it is. And they hate that. Good. But you know what? Even though we're proud to be Texan, the truth is, it's just a gift of God. We're just simple, stupid people that read the book and like it. And, you know, that's it. And two people from Oklahoma came down to our, came down from our, to our convention and said, wow, I've never seen a convention like this. This is the, by the way, it's the biggest in the world. Bigger than the national convention. Our convention in Fort Worth, bigger than the national. But it's been that way for years. It's the biggest. And we're in Tarrant County, not here. We're in Tarrant County. We're the most conservative Republican in the whole United States. I mean, there's nobody else. And the world watches America, America watches Texas, and Texas watches North Texas. We're it. So what's going to happen spiritually is here. Economically is here. Politically is here. So anyway, you're about to see some stuff. But God has prepared us, and I tell you, it's like going to church. This is like going to church. I mean, it's too wonderful. It's too fun. Because everybody's a believer. Everybody. And isn't that true, David? It's unbelievable. And the new group, the new crop that's come in this year, me one of them, it's going to be awesome. Because I can see right away, God keeps refining us to bring us to a certain point. So God gives us favor. Did you know that favor comes from God? It doesn't come because we work hard and all this stuff. It just comes from God. But God is trying to show these people something. Is stop relying on others. You just be guilty. Stop pretending like you're innocent and sweet and you can rely on other people to help you out and then blame them when they don't come through. Stop that. You are guilty. Your unhappiness is due to you. You did it. You made bad choices. Your choices stink. And I just wanted to tell you something. You're a sinner. Okay. And as soon as you say, okay, I am, and admit it, then it'll give you the gospel. So the gospel always follows the law. No law, no gospel. No bad news, no good news. That's why a doctor would always give you a test. You come into the office, he has to test you. Yep, you're sick. And that's good, because then he can give you medicines and make a buck, you know, off of you. And so, you know, that's how they do it. But you have to have the bad news before you get the good news. And that's why Jesus here, same thing here. Everything is that way. The whole world is built this way. First of all, get rid of all the things you rely upon, and so you're completely vulnerable, and then they'll sell you some product. But in this case, God doesn't sell you a product. He gives you a free gift. Gives you everything. And so why Texas is going to lead is because we have the true gospel, we have the true economy, we have the true political system. Why? Because we're going back to the original. We're not doing anything new. We're not doing anything novel. Just that we have billions and billions of dollars salted away, and no other state has that. No other state. Everybody else is either broke, and that's the vast majority of the states. They're all broke. And we have to pay for California. We will have to pay for all these other states that are broke. How many know we're not going to be stupid like Germany had to bail out, you know, Greece? It's not going to happen here. We'll just get our guns out and say, don't mess with Texas. You know, it's ours. We saved it. We're waiting for that rainy day, you know. Anyway, it's not going to happen. So Obamacare is going to go down, everything else. You'll see. Not because we're right. It's just because God. I tell you, it's just God. It's just God. This is God's day, God's time. Is there any hope? There's got to be hope. Economic, political, social, but it's got to be religious. You get religion in your foundation, you got a strong foundation. This book, this Bible, and the Jewish people are going to come right alongside of us. You come right alongside of us. You're going to see things happening in our day. We didn't do them. You didn't produce them. We didn't make them happen. But it's going to happen. It's going to be, to God be the glory. So here's what it says here. I'm sorry, I'm closing. So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptian prisoners, Ethiopian captives, which was Israel, young and old, naked and barefoot,
even with their buttocks uncovered to the shame of Egypt. And they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia. In other words, that was their confidence, their expectation, and of Egypt their glory. In other words, Israel, northern tribes, are going to be ashamed of all the alliances they made, all the help that they were getting from the world. Stop it. He's talking to us. And the inhabitants of this border shall say in that day, in other words, Israel, behold, such is our expectation, whether we flee for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria, how shall we escape? In other words, you can't get away from God. God has raised up everything, everybody at the right time. The Muslims are right in time. Don't be afraid of them. Don't worry about them. They're going to be knocked down. They can't get anywhere. I'm just telling you, we win. This is the best day to be alive. This is most incredible. I'm not anything. I'm a zero. I'm a zero. But God loves us. And God is going to do something for people that listen to the Word. I just read it. I didn't try to believe it. I just read it and then I believed it. I didn't make myself believe it. I don't get any credit. And you don't get any either. You don't even have to understand it. Just God just does it. And I say, to God be the glory. He will judge all of your gods. If you have a false god, if you have some idol somewhere in your life, if you're feeling sorry for yourself, I would imagine there's two or three people in this room that have self-pity. Could I see a show of hands? I thought there was two or three. So I would imagine there's a few people angry. I would imagine there's a few people afraid. I would imagine there's a few people that are envious, who are jealous, who are bitter, etc., etc. So what? Just turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus. It doesn't matter. He loves people. He doesn't care what kind of people you are. Even if you're a hypocrite, he loves hypocrites too. Right? Because hypocrites are nothing but sinners with a mask on. So he's really loving the person beneath the mask. But he loves you. You remember the Jewish Pharisees? God didn't hate them. He just hated their Phariseeism, but he didn't hate them. He hates our sin, but he doesn't hate us. God loves sinners. The best has been saved to the last. So I hope you're ready for the new wine. He's pouring it out. You can't contain it. The old wineskin's going to be all brand new. God's going to upside down everything. I love you all. God is good. God is great.